Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to thank you tonight for joining us. I am here on location tonight, here in Clarkston, in the Detroit area. I'm at my mom's house down here in Clarkston, Michigan, it's a nice area out here in the country, and I want to tell you, my mom's house, it's actually a pretty cool house. Now, it is a very old house. It is an old house. But I'm sorry, we are just seating me down so that I am in a comfortable position / chair. Here we go. And then I have the Word of God with, you know, the Holy Bible, as we are going to take a look at another miracle tonight, with it being Testimony Tuesday. And tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the blind man who was told to go to Siloam, and he washes, and then something beautiful happens. I'm not going to spoil it. Otherwise, you might not have any reason to listen to. But praise God, it's still so powerful. You know, it's not like a movie where you just watch it once, twice, and three times, and then you're done with it. No, it is a very powerful story. It really is. And I'm going to tell you more about it in just a little bit. But first, I want to do some other things first. And the first thing I want to tell you about is about this house where my parents live. So they live on a lake. And it's on a no zone. So that means you can't have motorboats, but you can still have paddle boats and that. And the water is calm and it's pretty clean lake water, actually. And then no one else can build any closer to the lake than what we are, because it's protected wetlands, so that's pretty nice. And this is what my mom and dad wanted, and they're happy with it. They love it. And so, praise God. So they just love it here where they are. They love it here where they are. They couldn't want too much more. Now, John, what are you doing? Oh, sorry. Sorry about that, folks. We're just adjusting a couple of things here and there. So I apologize for being quiet for that little second. But it is an old house, but it's old enough that it's kind of historical. From the 1930s. So it is, I would say, at least 79 or 80 years old. And so it, and I'm depending, I'll come down here sometimes and stay, and generally here's what will happen. If my parents have a guest over, then I'll sleep upstairs on an air mattress. If not, there's this wonderful bed in a spare bedroom downstairs that I love. I tell you, this mattress is comfortable. I love it. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to tell you what it is either, because you'll all want it. But, oh, man, it almost feels like you're on a cloud. You know, I don't think we're going to have to sleep in heaven, but if we did, I'm sure God would give us some of the most comfortable mattresses. And we're going to, and I would probably think that mattress down here, in this bedroom down here, if we were to sleep in heaven, I would probably think that baby was a rock compared to what we have in heaven. We know that's the truth, because in heaven, God's preparing a place for us, and it's going to be awesome. Yes, it is. Now, I want to tell you guys about something pretty cool. So, it looks like a couple days before the 4th of July, so July 1st, it looks like, I will probably be going to one of the services of, it's called Dominion Camp Meeting. It's Rodney Parsley's church, Pastor Rod Parsley, down in Columbus, Ohio. It's called World Harvest Church. So it's a 5,000-plus member church. The last few days, I've been listening to some of Rod Parsley's messages, and oh boy, let me tell you, you want a good old shouting message, you got to listen to some of Rod Parsley's messages. Some of the ones I like were from I've only watched a certain amount of them, or skimmed through a few, and some of them, man, that church 20 years ago, even 20 years ago, it was crazy. For example, Rod Parsley may be preaching, and then he'll tell them to shout, and then it is crazy. Enough that you had whistles blowing in the church. Whistles blowing in the church. Think about that. I saw that once, when I was in Cincinnati, and I was at Pastor Jim Crabb's church in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was actually Hamilton, Ohio, but we were at one of Pastor Buckley's Holy Spirit conferences. This was back in 99. They did a certain song, and it was like, the Spirit of the Lord is upon my heart, and I will dance like David danced. I remember there was a whistle that went off at certain parts during it. And then at the end, everybody was clapping and shouting. Whistle went off. Now, keep in mind, this was about a 400 or 500 member church. What about that times 10? 5,000. And this was around that same period. You know, 98, 99, 2000. I'm believing that And I want to tell you something about those meetings back then. I even remember this at Living Word. At Living Word in 1998, 1999, a couple years before that even, I'm sure, but I remember like 98, 99, at conferences. One time at Invasion of 98, a couple youth came up and testified injuries they were healed from. And then at a couple regular services, we had testimonies of people being healed from sicknesses right there in the service. I am believing that we will have an outpour like that in this country again. I don't think it has to do with the fact that R.W. Shambach was there in 1998 at our church. But I am believing that the power of God is going to show up in the church. It's going to be real. We're going to have more healings and miracles and manifestations happening in the churches. And no, I'm not a pastor. I am, however, the miracle man. And that means I have no problem claiming on this show that we're going to have more revival in the name of Jesus. We will have more power. We will have more deliverance. We will have more manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we will have just more anointing in our churches, at Living Word, at all different churches. I claim that the power level will go up. I'm so glad America's finally to start waking up in certain areas, but I think in the church we still got a ways to go. I want us to get to a place where the power level is what it used to be. But back then, you know, back in the, you know, the late 90s, the services were longer. Yeah, I remember. I was an 8, 9-year-old kid, and you know, sometimes, you know, they were longer services, but God was doing things. God was doing things. Going to a church service, going to a revival service, is not always exactly a trip to McDonald's or Burger King. Or as they like to call it, the 1 hour in and out, or the 2 hour in and out. Or we could say, like at the Holy Spirit Conference, service starts at 7, out by, you know, 9:15, 9:30. No, we used to go at the Holy Spirit Conference until at least 10:30, 11 o'clock. It was commonplace back in the late 1990s. Oh, and so, listeners, I want you to believe with me that the power level will go up in our churches I'm claiming not just for Living Word, but Living Word included, but I'm believing for revival in the kingdom of God. Excuse me. God just told me something. People do not ask for revival. God does the revival. What happens is people seek their face. People come expecting. People expect miracles, signs, wonders, healings, deliverances. That's when revivals happen, when people are expecting. You can't just say, oh, Lord God, I want a revival to start in a couple weeks and then not expect it. You got to be expecting. You got to be seeking the Lord, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord for your miracle. That means entering into worship. Deeply. It means just being involved in your church service. And it means seeking God at home, praying at home, reading your Bible. When people decide to focus more on serving God and they are expecting miracles, that, my friend, is when miracles happen. That is when revival happens. That is what you do. So I'm believing that the church, praying that the Church of America will wake up so that we can get back to that place of revival. Because God says on the last day, in the last days, there will be a revival. There will be an outpouring greater than outpourings previously. And quite honestly, I want all of what comes with the revival and stuff. You know, I want to see people get delivered and healed. I want my manifestations going to happen. I want to see people, you know, get drunk in the Holy Spirit again. Like what used to be commonplace a while ago. And so I wasn't trying to get into this crazy soapbox and about revivals or anything, but something about when I brought up Rod Parsley, it just sparked that. And so it is Testimony Tuesday, though, and I do believe in miracles firmly. And I'm believing that we're going to see a lot more of them in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. But that to say, camp meeting is a multi-day event where there are multiple preachers who come and preach down there in Columbus. I didn't know about this camp meeting until somewhat recently. And by the way, Rod Parsley has only been to our church once. But, you know, he is an awesome man of God. He really is. And so, one of his fathers in the faith was Lester Sumrall, just like Dr. Barclay was under Lester Sumrall. I mean, it was Lester Sumrall was one of his fathers in the faith. Just like how Pastor Barclay also had John Osteen, who was in heaven, along with Chilton Sutton, I said Lester Sumrall, George Evans, and Dr. Roy Hicks. All five of these guys, all five of them are, I did get a chance to sit. Both Lester Sumrall and John Osteen went to heaven before I was 10. But I do remember the teachings of Brother Sutton teaching on the last days. Brother Hicks, whose theme was thanking God a lot, along with other things, such as there are two beings within my chest. One is cursed, one is blessed. One I love, one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. So, you get to choose. You're going to live for God, or you're going to live in the world and in sin. You get to choose. I'm not going to preach on that, but I was just given this little hint as to what it is about, and that was the theme of Dr. Roy Hicks. Then, as I said, we had Dr. Hilton Sutton would teach on the last days a lot when he would come to our church, Living Word. And then we had Dr. George Evans. And I loved all three of those men. Like how they would teach from the pulpit. And in fact, Dr. Roy Hicks preached his very last message at our church, and it was on pride. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I'm just sharing with you some things. But praise God, the camp meeting, June 29th to July 1st in Columbus. I'll probably be there on Sunday evening. But locally, though, we got Dr. Kenneth Copeland coming to Living Word Church next Wednesday, June 13th. It's a 7 o'clock service, so I do not believe that I will be doing a show that night, unless I do it really early. But I will encourage you to, if you cannot get out to Living Word Church on Stark Road, please go to marktbarclay.com and stream Kenneth Copeland, as he will be live from our church. I mean, live from Living Word. And here's the word of the Lord, what Kenneth Copeland has for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Master. It's the presence of the Lord is here. Tell your folks, No, I'm not. I'm okay. I was just talking about something, and then, like, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I was just soaking in it, you know? And then, like, because I was saying about Brother Copeland, and then, like, you know, sometimes when the Spirit gets on you, it just, you know, that's why I did that, you know? But so praise God. So now, here is the plan for tonight. We're going to, as I said, we're going to read and then talk about the man in John who went to Siloam. He washed and he came home seeing. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to read Hebrews 11, as we always do. And then, after we do that, here are the sports headlines that will be talked about tonight. Tigers won game two of their doubleheader with New York yesterday. Lions began a series tonight at home with I believe Boston Red Sox, but they are at home tonight. Tigers at home tonight. And then hockey, the Washington Nationals, and what happened between the Nationals and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And then NBA Finals Insight. I'm going to give you one of them tonight on what I think will happen now that Cleveland is going home for a set of two games, starting with tomorrow at 9 p.m. I'll give you an insight on that tonight. And so, folks, let me just... Okay, so I look at my clock and I see that I'm not doing too bad on time. So I will give a brief description on how to listen to the show. So, folks, bear with me for just a minute. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, bear with me for just a minute. Now, those of you who are new to this program, let me rephrase that. If you're new to this program, you found the program, then most of this won't apply to you. This is so that you can tell other people about this great show, as there is power and anointing on this show that a lot of Christian radio shows might not have. And so we are totally believing God for this audience to grow big time. So that is why we want you to tell other people how to listen to this program. That's why I take a couple minutes out of my airtime to say, you know, this is what you do, you know, go to the website. I do this so you can share it with people. And so, here's what you tell people about how to listen to the show. So you tell them. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com, and that's all one word. Blog Talk Radio is all one word. And then once you get on the website, you'll see a search box. In the search box, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay? After you type in Upfront Entertainment in that search box thing, you will see a link. And the link goes to Livin' Large. And Livin' Large is our channel, our broadcast channel. And we've done about 160 episodes that we've done. 160 episodes that we've done in the span of 10 months. About to be 10 and a half in a few days. So, yeah, 160 episodes. And once you get there on the site, we have a follow button that you can hit. And I want you to hit that follow button, because here's what's going to happen when you hit the follow button. When you hit the follow button, you're going to get notified when we're getting ready to do a show. For example, we'll just say Monday night we'll do a show at 6:30, as that's normally when we do it. And we normally run till between 7:45 and 7:55, so generally we run it an hour and 15 to an hour and 25 minutes. But you'll get notified a little before the show that we're getting ready to do a broadcast. So, the Miracle Man goes live in 20 minutes. The notification will say. And it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart choice to listen to this program on your smartphone, your laptop, or your other tablet device. It's always a good idea. You'll use it for all kinds of other technologically advanced things like your games and stuff and, work. Why not use it for something that's going to change your life? Especially if you're not saved yet. Or even if you do know Jesus, it'll be a way for you to get more word in. That's why we always say it's a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Preacher Man used to say it. I still say it because I believe truly that there is truth to that. And so, it is amazing. Also, we have a telephone number that you can call us in at, and we can talk about basically whatever you want to talk about. We can pray if you believe in for prayer. If you need prayer for something, if you believe in for God to do some things in your life. We can do that. If you want to give a testimony about something God is doing in your life, by all means, please call in to the show. And the telephone number you can call us in at is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and then press 1. When you press 1, you go through a call screener, and then we'll let you on the show. And as I said, generally we can talk about anything you want to talk about except for politics. We don't want to talk about politics on the show. We want to be, I want to be a uniter, not a divider. And if I take time, if I take your time to talk about political issues, or if one of my callers, or if one of you callers decides to call in and talk about politics, then we can get into this crazy debate and stuff, and you might disagree with me big time or whatever, then it can start to be kind of divisive. This is not the show for that. We want to breed life. And so, generally, we talk about faith, fun, miracles, God, as well as sports. And so in general, that's what we do. But you can talk about basically anything you want to talk about. Like maybe we can talk about why you think the grass, why are trees green and not red or purple, you know? Preacher Man came up with something like that. That's why sometimes I tease about it. But, you know, if you want to talk about, if you call into the show and want to talk about politics, what's going to happen is we're going to tell you that we're going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, as the Bible tells us to do, and then I'm going to tell you to go vote in the elections and to vote Bible. Praise God. And then the other thing is, this show is a family show. We invite people of all ages to come on and listen. We really do. We invite people of all ages to just come on and listen and enjoy the program. However, I don't mean however or anything like that, but the other thing is we want God to be proud of the show. And so generally, we have a verse in Galatians 5, and it tells us to not let corrupt communication come out of our lips. And so we want to ask you to put your filter on, and we want to keep the standard high around here. So you wouldn't say certain things to Jesus, please don't come and say it on this program. And so with that, I'm gonna have a word of prayer before we open the Word of God. Lord God, I thank you for your Spirit, Lord God, that is on me tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you will use me tonight as I deliver your word. And we learn about this blind man in John that you healed. You gave him these certain instructions. He followed him, and he was healed. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for these listeners, Lord God. I thank you that you have blessed them for coming on board and listening to me tonight and what I have to say. I thank you that their hearts will be receptive and their minds will be alert. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your spirit will get upon them. I thank you that souls will be saved tonight in the name of Jesus. And I claim, I make my confession over the show right now, and that confession is, I claim that we have an increase in audience. I thank you that money comes into the show. I thank you that new equipment comes into the show, and I thank you that sponsors and partners come on board who want to help do your work, Jesus. As well as sponsors who love sports, Lord, so that we can do more with that too. And so, I thank you, Lord God, for tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you got your Bible with you, let's go to the book of John. Let me just look and see what chapter this is. All right. So, folks, it's chapter 9. So, let's go to John chapter 9. Woo! Praise God. John chapter 9. You know, at Living Word Church, we shout, we cheer when we open the Bible because we love the Word of God. We love what the Word of God has done for us. And so we want you to be excited about the Word of God. Amen. And so I also want to encourage you with this. This show tonight is not just a guy sitting here at his mom's house talking to you about things and getting ready to read the Bible. That is what's going on, but I want to invite you to listen. I mean, to follow along in what I do here. So if I sing a song, you sing along. If I read, when I start reading here in a second, you got your Bible, read along with me. Study. When I exhort, you pay close attention. And if I pray in the Spirit, then you pray along. And so generally, whatever I do here, you do where you are. Wherever you are. And it's called engagement. Engagement. And we believe that that can really help get results. Okay. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 9. John 9:1. We're going to start right there. And I'll read, you catch up. And as he went along, this is talking about Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. Now how did Jesus first know that the man was born blind on earth? And blind from birth? I don't know. But his disciples, this is verse 2 now, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. People may confuse that with something else and may say that God makes you sick for the glory of God or to teach you something. And I'm going to address that a little bit later with the exhortation. As long as it is day, verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. That's kind of cool, actually, I think. That Siloam means sent. I like that. It's pretty cool. So the man went and he washed and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit here and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, oh no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. That is so powerful right there. Makes you want to shout. Praise God. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Pharisees or Pharisees investigate the healing. Okay, verse 13 now. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is from God. Then they gave a loud shout with a voice of triumph, and they were so happy. Oh, does it say that? Does it say that the Pharisees shouted unto God with a voice of triumph over this miracle? Over the miracle of the blind having sight? Does it say that? Oh! Let's go back and read it right then. The Sabbath, therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I went and washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, oh! They said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Oh, boy. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man, who now could see. What do you have to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, He is a prophet. And the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "I'll tell you, he got healed." Verse 20. "We know he is our son." The parents answered, "And we know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already, the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. Wow. Verse 23. This is why his parents said, "He's of age," or as we would say, "He's old enough, ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Okay, let me try that with a little more enthusiasm. I want you to get this. And he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see." Oh, yes. And then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him, and they said, "You are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't even know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How did you lecture us?" And they threw him out. All right, now he talks about spiritual blindness. So let's read it. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. They threw the guy who was healed, they threw him out of the synagogue. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you right now. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you see, your guilt remains. All right. Let's just check the clock. We are going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. And there's two sounds that pastors love a lot. Pages turn them like this, and checks being ripped out of checkbooks. Oh, yes. Pastors said that. It's kind of a Buckley proverb, but only a comedy one. But nonetheless, it's still funny. I love it. And so, all right, let's go. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at the command of God, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away before he was taken. He was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. We've all been there. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God, by faith Abraham. Even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, not ashamed to be called their God, who has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, figuratively speaking. He did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. And Esau, in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. destitute. They were persecuted and they were mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, what we read in John chapter 9 was the story of this blind man, born blind. And the Pharisees, crazy people were asking, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. Show me a verse where someone sins in their mother's womb. I can't find it. These people, these Pharisees, they no clue. And they were mad. They weren't happy that he got healed on the Sabbath. They didn't understand at all what happened. Instead of giving glory unto God, they were questioning. And then Jesus says to this man, Jesus sees this blind man. He spits on the ground and he gets some mud, puts it on the man's eye, and he tells him, go to the pool, Siloam. And we discovered earlier that Siloam means sent. And I thought that was pretty cool. Go to the place that means sent and wash this mud off your eyes. He goes and he washes. And then here's what happened when he came home. He came home and he could see. He could see. He could see he had an amazing miracle. He could see with his eyes. He could see. And then the Pharisees come in and they're asking him all these questions, And, and before they even got the mud on his eyes, they even asked, the disciples even asked, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Wow. But then, so that happened. He got healed. And he says, I want to know the Son of God. And then Jesus asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And then he said, you know, who is he? And stuff. And he says, and Jesus says, I am the Son of Man. Now do you believe? And he said, Lord, I do believe. And then he believed right then. He believed in Jesus. He believed. He was obedient to the command. You know, sometimes God will just do the miracle instantly. And I'll just give you a new eye somehow. Turn on the wiring or whatever in your eyes that made it so you couldn't see. They'll make it so that you can see. Other times, you might use a surgery. Other times, you might give an instruction. Now, in the natural, putting mud on your eyes and then going and taking a bath inside is not going to make your eyes see if you're blind. Not unless God very specifically tells you to do it. Then, if you wanted to, you could, but he followed the instructions of God. He followed the instructions that Jesus gave him, which was go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He does that, comes home seeing. And this idea that when this happened, you know, so the man could see the wood is like, folks, let's dispel this myth right now. Let's dispel the myth that Jesus puts the disease on you to teach you something. And I got a bombshell for you. Jesus does not put sickness or disease upon us. He does not. He does not put sickness or disease upon humans. So the idea that he does it to punish us or teach us something, oh no. And more often than not, it's an attack of the devil. You know what happened to my eyesight? And I was 3 months old, amaurosis took it. The devil took it. Jesus didn't give me amaurosis. He won't give it. He doesn't have it to give it. See it as it was an attack from the devil. Oh, and colon cancer and those other things. Satan wanted to take my life when I was young. And he didn't get it. He didn't get it. Still alive now. I'm 28 and I'm still on fire for the Lord. Because without the Lord God, I would have died. Period. And if you've been healed of something, now before I pray over those who are believing for miracles, let me just give you one more thing. And that is, me just think here for a second. What is that? Oh, yeah, I said that. I'm just thinking. But, you know, God wants to see the miracle happen within you. He does. He does. And it's not just in your body. This applies to financial. This applies to other areas. God wants to see miracles happen. God wants to. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are the miracle worker. And Lord God, I thank you that we all get this word on the inside of us, that we believe in Jesus, and we do not doubt. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will understand that Jesus Christ does not put diseases upon us of any kind. Well, the amaurosis, heart disease, or a cold. No, Jesus, you do not put those things upon us. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Lord, I take a minute to pray over those who have a believing God for healing in their body. Or a miracle in general, but right now I'm talking about the body. I claim that all those of you who are listening to this show who are believing God for a healing, I claim that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. You are whole. You are set free. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. In 1 Peter, it says, by his stripes, we were healed. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that, Jesus, for your healing power and for your miracle-working power. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that, Lord. And Lord, thank you that for the greatest miracle of all, and that is salvation. I claim that people who are listening to this show who do not know you, they will find you. They will give their life to you, Jesus, and they will live for you forever. As salvation is the greatest miracle of all. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Lord. And I'm going to sing the God of Miracles. Now, this is going to be a quicker version because we're low on time, but I want to get the message across. I'm going to do choruses, I mean the verses and the chorus and the verse. All right. Let's do this. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. His life is flowing through your veins. His life is flowing through your veins. We believe in you. We believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. Yes, Lord. I believe in you. I believe you're the God of miracles. One last time. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Amen. God wants to work in us and do miracle works, miracles for us. And that song is awesome. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your working in our bodies. And working on our behalf in the other areas of our lives too. Our finances, vocation, another area. And so now for sports. Tigers are playing the Boston Red Sox at home tonight. And I don't know what they're doing. But you can listen to the Tigers on your Tigers radio network affiliate around the great state of Michigan. For example, in the Midland area, you can listen on 790 AM or 104.9 FM. Here in Detroit area, you can listen on 97.1 The Ticket FM dial, as that is the flagship station of Detroit Tiger baseball. But last night, the Tigers got a win with a 4-3 in a 4-3 decision to the New York Yankees. And Cabrera's back from his injury. I think he's going to do fine, pretty good, as long as he can stay healthy. But Michael Fulmer's got to do something so that he can get through mornings and not give up all kinds of runs and not struggle with the pitch count so much. Washington Capitals have won game four of the Stanley Cup Finals last night out in Washington. They now go out west to Vegas to play game five. And only one team, Detroit from 1942, was the only team to come back from a 3-1 deficit to win the championship. And then I just want to let you know that the Pistons, no, that the NBA Finals is tomorrow night, Game 3 in Cleveland at 9 p.m. I will give my insight on that tomorrow night as we are just about, as we are out of time. So, folks, until tomorrow, God first, God always. Thank you for listening to this program tonight. I pray you were blessed by it. And that the power of God, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for these people who listened. So long, everybody, and I will see everyone next time.